Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to The Angel Connection, a weekly show about all things angelic with your host, international healer and author, C.J. Martas.
Hello, good evening, my angel friends. This is C.J. Martas, and of course you're listening to The Angel Connection on Friday, October 12th. I want to extend my love to all of you this week because it's been an intense week, and I know the Seraphim have some things to say about what's going on, so we will definitely have that. And I am absolutely, I guess you could say, passionate about this special guest this evening, D.A. Wills. You know, she's, I'm very fortunate to have met her. She's one of the most loving and compassionate people that I've met recently. So, and we're going to talk in depth tonight about how to thrive instead of just survive. And we want to get into, you know, our natural state and a lot of other things that I'm very actually excited to explore with her. And with a huge consciousness shift in the world happening right now, you know, many are waking to an idea, you know, I must return to my natural state that is instinctual and intuitive. I desire to thrive. Well, now how do I do that? And I guess that's why they call the spiritual path a journey, of course. I will take callers with topic-based questions or comments, so please feel free to call in and ask myself or DA a question. The show number is 1-877-296-0345. I am sorry, though, but tonight I will not be doing readings because I really want to spend time on this topic. And once you hear the angel message, I think you'll understand why. Well, for this week's prayer request, actually, I wanted to share with you something that just sort of, you know, when those things inspire in you that you go, yeah, that just really feels good to me to do that. And sometimes maybe we don't act on those things. But I wanted to mention a prayer intention that in my home, my whole family does. And it was a wonderful symbol to me because our belief and intention are so powerful. And I think that we have to have more belief that we affect the world around us in positive ways, as well as the other side, too. So I have sconces on the west wall of my living room. And each night after sunset, we take turns as a family lighting a tea light in each of those sconces. And why we do this and what our family's prayer intention is, that our conscious act that we choose to do together will benefit, especially at this time in our history, the many souls who are lost and cannot find their way. And so on that west wall, which is important, I put a white candle, our tea light, and then we just let them burn into the night because they won't burn a whole long. And so I always envision that as the light, you know, that is illuminating the path, which I think is a beautiful metaphor for the path now, but we certainly can benefit those souls who are struggling at this time. And I know for myself, if you're going to burn a lot of candles, you know, a lot of tea lights, you can just get this white tea lights, you know, big bag from Walmart, and last forever. So I'm going to put a challenge out there to invite all of my angel friends to try this practice for 1 week, just 1 week. And if you love it like I do, continue it to help those souls who are struggling receive that light. And if you don't, I still think that you will experience something that you did not expect to come out of. So there's really quite a powerful energy surrounding this week, surrounding the angel message. In fact, I think I rolled in at about 30 seconds to go. And so I did feel a little bit like a winged person today coming in to the show, you know, sort of just in the nick of time, which I think is awesome how much the angels have encouraged me to go with the flow and know there's always enough time. And there certainly is, but whew, you know, I was like, I'm not coming, you know, and sort of sliding into the finish line. So with a deep breath I take, I will read the angel message for the week of October 12th. Dear ones, each week we humbly serve you all. Our divine heart's wish is to help you thrive and awaken to your full potential. For too long, the world has forgotten what they once were. Stress and circumstances have locked many souls into this state of fight or flight. This means a person's energy is used simply to get through life rather than to optimally live it. You recently experienced one of the most powerful energetic shifts and events that have occurred in many centuries with the equinox that occurred in September. Many of you received a big surge of spirit and thus opened rapidly to your true nature. It allowed you to see the truth of who you are. Many of you suddenly found yourself at the other end of the polarity spectrum, or perhaps witnessed this in people you love and care about. What may have gone unnoticed by too many people who are less spiritually aware during this time is the opposing surge that also came flooding out of the darkness. We do not wish you to be afraid when we mention something of this type. It's all a part of everything trying to come back to balance. But you may wish to picture the world as the yin-yang symbol, two sides in harmony, perfect balance. Well, this shift was so eventful in the human world that if you looked at this yin-yang symbol now, it would look like it was a compressed globe somewhat tipping toward the dark side. You may have noticed over the past week that the world seems a little different to you somehow. Or perhaps you just have this sort of unsettled feeling or a bit uneasy. Maybe it's something you just can't put your finger on. Some have described this feeling as actually feeling like the world is a little out of balance or lopsided. Some of you have felt this way already, and if you haven't yet, we wish to bring you a very important message at this time about the struggle between the sides of light and dark, which are both a part of your world. First, the awakening that we have observed for the last two decades especially has simply been an astounding accomplishment for the sustainable human spirit. It has been the most beautiful unfolding for the seraphim to witness, the very moment that the angel inside of you takes its first breath. And each time we celebrate your strength and courage to face the unknown with less fear and more belief. As mankind approaches a new era, the power of the light and the power of the dark are intensifying. This causes stress to the veils that would normally conceal some of the invisible world around you. And you may have noticed that you begin to see things that you're not quite sure that you can believe what you're seeing. With this thinning and the dark surge, there are many darker energies floating around than would normally be. And unfortunately, these things are also vibrationally attached to people and can drive destructive habits or behaviors. So you may have witnessed this in others suddenly returning to something. And I know that myself, this is not the seraphim, that people with addictions are really struggling. So if you know people with addictions, I check in on them because it's kind of a trying time. But in finishing the message here, this is what the seraphim say. It's a choice. So those who choose to see this important year end as a new era that is full of hope and expansion for us and the creation of a new reality are the least vulnerable. But we ask you to consciously, with your mind, envelop yourself in white light. Take care of your energy. Expand it in love and compassion. Do the basics of conscious white light and centering meditation. Don't become run down or exhausted or push yourself too hard. Self-care is more important now than ever. And this is actually why we have stress taking care of the powerful light of who you are. On the other side of things, those that do not choose to walk in the light because they believe they have too much fear, they're unworthy, do not deserve freedom from their suffering, should be punished, or simply refuse to heal and release the old ways. They will be pushed deeper into their own darkness and begin to vibrate more to that frequency. We wish you all, regardless of where your frequency may be on the spectrum, that there is nothing for you to fear simply because you are filled with the light of creation. You have the power of creation of the source within you, and the dark forces do not. Thus, you can always be and always will be more powerful and resourceful than anything dark you would encounter. Always remember that you cannot have one side of this coin without the other in your world. And your consciousness and belief will bring the world back into balance again. It's the consciousness combined with the belief in a new era that will bring everything back at the way that it should be. Just know we are watching over you all and can be called so quickly to help you overcome anything. Please think of us often. Please offer prayers of gratitude and joy and let us know when you need us, because we will always be there. Until next time, dear ones, we are the Seraphim. So I don't know, a lot of people have been experiencing this where it's just a little, things just feel a little out of kilter. And my understanding of this is that obviously this is part of a phase. But we also know that we have lots of people out there, you know, very much vibrating to fear about the end of the Mayan calendar, the world, you know, and they're really focusing on all of that. But the light is so much more powerful than that fear. So it takes far less of us holding those candlelight in the darkness, like I was mentioning, as a practice. Maybe you can think of that as your light shining into the world. So, of course, you all know I'm the most hopeful person. So this is what we're going to do tonight. Dia Wills, she became a transcendental meditation teacher in 1978 and has taught TM ever since. She's been in private practice utilizing the tools of a medical intuitive for over 35 years. And she's been trained in all kinds of different healing and things since she was 6 years old. So young. I think that's probably why she and I get along so well. We've been just sort of tracking this path for quite a while here. And, you know, she's a Reiki master, a trained practitioner of Traeger, and spiritual response therapy, all kinds of different things. But most of all, she's responsible for the Thrival Bible. And if you haven't heard of this, it is definitely something that you want to look into. But there is, I do have a show in the archives just specifically about that as a resource. So she and I are going to take a little bit of a different tack with this topic on thriving. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome D.A. Wills to the Angel Connection again. Hello, dear.
Hi, CJ. I'm so glad to be back and so honored and thrilled. And your angel message was beautiful. And thank you for that. And thank you for sharing.
Well, I feel a lot of gratitude, you know, to be able to share on this show, you know, things that do engage our empowerment, you know, our ability to thrive, as well as to be able to give some practical, you know, grounded kind of things, you know, to let us know what's kind of going on out there. So they are such a force in my life, as most people know who hang out with me. You know, they sort of have a mission, don't they, as well as I'm sure your angels do too.
Yes, they do.
You know, so welcome tonight. And I think that, you know,
thank you.
Really, when I had you come on, and of course synchronicity always abounds, right? It's always right timing and things like that.
Of course.
But I think what we're seeing really in this shift is a return back, you know, to the true nature. You know, and you and I were discussing before the show that every person on this planet in their original state of being was specifically designed or created to grow, to thrive, to evolve throughout that lifetime. So I'd like to kind of go back and forth about what are the exact nature of authentic self, you know. What do I mean by that, you know? What do you think?
Well, that's a many-fold question, because our authentic selves, it's like saying someone's a carpenter. That's just one little aspect of who they are as a human being. When you talk about that, throw that term out there, that we want to get back to that, of course, that innate self, that authentic self, that divinity we all resonate and possess as our innate. That's a very widespread journey. It's kind of like when you go on vacation, you don't just pack a toothbrush. You pack underwear, you pack sunscreen, you pack your passport and money. You have to pack a lot of things, and that's kind of our journey, is that as we're traveling along back to, and this awakening time is now, we're going back to the innate self, except we're going back to it in a huge technological age where things seem simple And yet, if we get too caught up in the silver ring, like a raccoon chasing a shiny thing, we forget that innate self. Well, we focus on the toothbrush and we forget about the camera and we don't take any pictures. We forget about the postcard and we don't send a note to anyone, you know, that we're telling them we're having a good time. It's getting back to that innate needs, covering all those bases. It means tapping into all those pieces of ourselves and being authentic. It's the action. You were talking about the consciousness plus belief. And I think that third step is action. You have to take action based on consciousness and belief. And so getting back to that authentic stuff that somehow progress we've through before industry relied on the earth, we relied on each other, we respected each other, we loved each other, we honored each other. But and we knew that if we utilized the soil too much, if we didn't nurture it and nourish it, that we wouldn't have crops, that the soil would become benign and wouldn't be able to give us crops. So we knew how to care for that soil. Well, now I think we're going back to, we're reawakening to the fact of caring for our own soil. What can we plant in a person, what can we plant to awaken that if that soil is benign? If it's been drinking too much and angry and unconnected to anything divine or holy or within ourselves, then the soil that they want to plant on is benign. However, underneath, that innate still runs through. That divinity is still there. It's how much muck is in between. How much do you have to rototill the soil to get it, you know, active again so it's able to produce something wonderful? Because the innate and the divinity is in all of us. How we got lost from it.
Well, and I'd like to add something, too. Something that I myself, as you know, most people also know that I work really hard to liberate myself. I think that we have to go through and let go of many of the things that, you know, maybe we didn't want to take care of when we were younger, you know, the things that have happened, life happened. But what I didn't expect as more of my own consciousness emerged, like you said, it gets kind of buried and we just kind of, all of a sudden we're like, oh, there you are, you know, just kind of peeking at yourself.
Yeah.
What I didn't realize, because the angels have instructed me for 13 years now, you know, this is what you need to work on, you know. And I'm like, okay. But yeah, I still got to do my work. They just were very deliberate about, you know, sequence, and they're pretty wise, so I just followed their lead. But we often don't talk about the innate nature. So a part of what I want to kind of contribute to that discussion is that I have found, especially since that equinox event, obviously that kind of unleashed everything all at one time, our subconscious or underlying, or, you know, we say innate, or that just pristine state of us in this body, it actually is really wise. And we can, as I have learned, learn to sort of navigate trusting that compass, which people who listen to the show have heard me talk about a lot, that we do have that innate or that inner compass, and it is reacting all the time if we're very present, which is hard to do, like you said, with technology and all these things. Just, and our consciousness is like accelerating, so it's like everything's like a blur if you don't take the time to stop. But I have been so pleasantly really joyful and actually kind of like a little kid going, wow, I knew to do that. It's almost like having eyes in the back of your head. And so as we, you know, sort of take a little trip back in time, you know, like we're looking through the window maybe with the listeners, you know, using our imagination. So we have people, they don't have, you know, a TV or iPods or all these things. And they live from the earth and they live in a sacred way. And that's kind of how I see it, is that we live in harmony, homeostasis, and this harmony and balance with using all of our faculties, releasing the need, you know, to grab things and, you know, and control them. And I think that there's something very natural about the rhythm of nature, certainly. And I think there's something in us that, you know, kind of hums to that frequency. So here we have, you know, those tools are there, you know, and you hear a lot of teachers, and I'm sure you could input on this, you know, say over the centuries as man has progressed, and women, you know, mankind, womankind, sorry, I always get those terms, you know. It's like, but you know, as we have, you know, progressed, we're not trusting that innate nature.
Right.
We're trying to control will.
And I'm not in any way bashing progress. I think we have made beautiful progress. But somehow I think science stole our spirit. As science advanced, I think we viewed our spirit as unimportant or negligible or folly. And it took a back seat, and we've forgotten it. And you and I had this conversation the other day. I think the reason Harry Potter movies were so just boomed is because people want to believe in magic. There was something in that movie that triggered something in their cellular DNA that said, oh, I remember this. I remember when the universe was magical. And don't get me wrong, pressing a button and letting me talk to you over the radio waves or talking to someone in China in 3 seconds, don't get me wrong, that's magical, believe me. But
that's great.
But I'm talking about the spirit magical. And I think that we no longer, there's no reason to take a horse and buggy to California. We take airplanes. What we need to do is then integrate this progress with being one with nature. You know, they talk, Maharishi used to talk a lot about, when I would go to the TM lectures, and he would talk a lot about natural law. And he said, when we break natural law, we break. As humans, as natural creatures, we break. We can't break natural law. And natural law is that making sure that we don't overuse the soil and make sure we don't kill all the indigenous people or creatures. You know, there's a natural law that we must respect, and somehow science has made us oblivious to those facts. And we need, I don't see us going back to horse and buggies. However, let's move our consciousness, let's raise our consciousness to surround and enwrap science. The science is part of our spirit, and our spirit is then infused in science and what it develops and how it affects our lives and our world.
Well, and you know, I think that you know, a lot of things that I love to learn about certainly are kind of where science and spirituality meet. And what is kind of interesting to me as we discover the quantum world, which, you know, every cell in our body knows what the quantum world is because it actually navigates at a quantum level. But what's interesting, and you know, somewhere along the line, these two have to actually meet for them to find the solution to their equations, right, the things that they're trying to solve. And then they're also trying to answer questions that cannot be answered, I believe. But in essence, like you were saying with the Harry Potter, which is so true, if you look at, I'm a movie watcher, I love to go see movies, I do. The theater's awesome. But I actually watch and see what kind of movies are coming out. And when we saw like Harry Potter go big, that points to our art actually being a reflection of the collective,
right,
you know, subconscious. And so there's a lot of things we can get clues to. What is the desire? What regardless of what we see with our eyes, what is the desire, you know, this drive to suddenly return back? You know, let's take the things that help us connect with other people, make our lives easier. But can't, you know, how do we learn to thrive, be still, without matching that sort of progressive energy that can kind of keep us just, I got to do this, and I got to do that, and I got to do this, and I got to do that. And I think that, you know, much of these lessons that Seraphim has certainly shown me over the last couple of years, you know, being in the present moment, you know, we talked about our consciousness belief in the action, slowing down to not disconnect or reject that subconscious or innate part of ourselves. And I'm telling everybody out there, if you get into thriving, which I'm sure DA can speak to, you really don't have to have worry, because once you don't reject that, it's much more natural and very liberating. And I'm actually in kind of that place where my needs are always met. In fact, it's not like, oh, I know I'm going to get abundance. It's like, well, I'm abundant already, right?
Right.
It's about being all of those qualities that I talk about.
And, you know, the basic thing I think is that survival is about selfishness and thriving is about community and embracing the one, embracing all of us. You know, I am classic for saying in every one of my, all my literature I put out and in the book, I love that phrase, one for all and all for one. That is like my motto, because that's where we have to get back to. You know, our connection to source and to nature, to each other, has been pulled almost to the point of breaking. And our innate knows the absurdity of the obliquity of it all, that if we lose that connection, we die. There's no survival. We will become extinct. And there's people that say, oh, we're going to kill the earth. We're going to destroy the earth. My daughter did a research study, and there's in the Amazon forest, there are such deep, deep rooted greens like weeds and flowers and all kinds of leaves that they have tested. There are so many little microbes there that three of those microbes could kill out half of the population of the world. The earth will kill us long before we'll kill it. It doesn't want to kill us. That's why those microbes are hidden way deep in the Amazon forest. But if we keep cutting down the forest, nature, the earth will release those and kill us off. So nature knows that we need to connect back to source. We need to grab onto the life preserver. And that life preserver is so simple because it's within. And that's what I talk about in the book a lot, is turn within. Silence is the key to salvation. As soon as you turn the silence on, ask any mom. What does she want most? She wants her daughter or son to stop yupping at her. She wants her dog to stop barking. The mom wants a little silence in the house. Please, quiet just for 5 minutes. I'll give you a cookie. Just be quiet. Because innately, mother knows silence is healing. And so that turning within will reconnect us to source without a huge amount. Even I was talking about action before, with very little action on our part except silencing, turning within, closing your eyes and taking nice breaths. Our innate is there at our beck and call waiting, because we've been turned outside ourselves so much. You know, even now these days when you see women pregnant, they're playing music to the baby in utero. They're talking at the father's talk on the belly to the baby. And so even in utero, we're taught to go outside, use the senses. And then when the kid's born, it's like, that's a square, this is a circle, and it's all outside ourselves. When I was little, my grandparents, funnily enough, they taught me to go within instead. They said, you know, the senses will take care of yourself. If someone makes a big bang, your ears are going to hear it. You don't have to train your ears to hear it. You're going to hear it. What you have to train is to go within. Listen to your heartbeat. Listen to your conscience. Listen to your gut. Listen to your instincts and your intuition. And those are the things that I think in raising children we've left out, that we aren't teaching them to go within. And I think that's about thriving. I think we can thrive if we go within and we change, we connect to that innate, because our innate is not murderous and not greedy and not selfish. It is not. And so if we can go in and connect to that again, and I don't mean to oversimplify it, but it is just a matter of shutting off the world and going in for a minute. Because we all know, you know, when you're just about to scream at your mother-in-law, if you close your eyes for a minute and take a breath and go, she's very sweet and she's just annoying me today, whoosah, you can get through that without attacking her, without releasing anger upon her, which does nothing for the universe, the world, or your relationship. And so I think that just that going within and taking that moment to adjust and view the world from innate as opposed to from our senses, I think that can help people shift a lot from survival to thriving.
Well, and I just had this kind of a little blip from the seraphim as you were speaking, because that's why I like having you on the show, because we just seem to flow so well. And I think I like these shows a lot, you know, because of the fact that it's more like two friends, and everyone who's listening tonight, DA and I, you're our friends. We're not separate from you. We're connected.
Yeah,
and
we're all connected.
But we've been... And we relied on that connection. And what they were showing me, you know, like in the past, obviously, we lived in tribes, communities. And these were what they call, because I'm studying anthropology, a collective culture, and where the needs of the collective are the very most important.
Right.
And as progress goes on, as people scatter to the earth, people get technology, they're trying to, you know, use resources, and we feel like we're bountiful, but all of a sudden, instead of going from the I am presence, the divine presence inside of me to encompass the we, what they said is it became me, me, me. So, and that's really where the disconnect comes from. The other thing is, culturally speaking, in the United States, we are an individualist culture. Our performance is measured. The things that are valued in a society are, and I love where I live. You know, it's not, I'm going to, as you said, I'm not going to bash on the United States. The culture is different. Every culture is. But when we are kind of conditioned, especially in those countries where those individual assets are more, become more valued as a culture, then we certainly become a little predisposed to think of ourselves. But what I am very, very, very excited about, and I know you've seen this, and I want everybody else out to pay attention to the children that have been, are being born right now. They are completely wide awake. I spent a evening with a 9-year-old little girl named Skylar this week, and her mom was here at the house, and she was so intuitive. And when she started getting around us, where we are not going to look at her funny, or you know, the things that sometimes kind of make us feel different at a young age, her innate sense was so, it was in like this pristine state. Yeah. And I'm working, doing some energy work on her mom, and it pops in my head, would you draw me a picture? And she had already picked up, and I didn't know it, had the pencil and the paper with her, and she looked at me like, well, of course I'm going to draw you a picture. And I'm like, oh my God, that's where everybody needs to be, because it's fluid, it's connected, and when I had a meditation several years ago, actually, about this return to our innate self and the children that were going to come in. And they call at the cosmic mother, for lack of a better way to explain this experience that I had, was that you will witness the birth of the Neo children, or the new. And she showed me that they would be all full of light and not be disconnected. And it's really a lot of us who maybe passed the, you know, bringing the children, it's, you know, clearing out that negativity, increasing the compassion, the belief in ourselves, belief in that innate and that connectedness. And, all of us should be very happy, because I believe that as we take or make a choice, like they have said, right, in the message, it's a choice. We choose to thrive. We do choose to thrive. And I think that's something that people need to understand. Just because your life's really crazy, you can live my life right now. You know, it's very rapid, but yet I'm very still and very and ecstatic most of the time. We can reach that thrival point. And so
thriving is really is living all for one and one for all. It's performing service. It's connecting with others. You were talking about, you know, way back when we were living tribal and communal, and no one hunted a deer and saved it all for themselves. It was shared with the tribe. Well, you know, they didn't have a Dominix to go to pick up 2 pounds of chicken for dinner. They had to rely on the tribe, otherwise they knew they wouldn't survive. Now that we don't necessarily, quote unquote, need each other to survive, it is, I think, the most perfect time to go back to learn to thrive. You know, if we can combine, again, what we were talking about, science and that spirit, now that we have, you know, the fortunate, at least in this country, and I'd like to see it all over the world, it's my dream, of, you know, having the abundance where we don't every day have to spend the entire day gathering 1 ounce of corn for our meal. Because we have the luxury of having a more advanced society, because the science has made us into this industrial age where we have all these great things, let's be grateful for that and thrive with that and use that technology to feed the world, to save the world, to to raise the consciousness so there isn't human trafficking. There's so all these things don't, these negative things don't go on. And we have the ability to do that. You know, remember, I don't know how many of you out there are old enough to remember, but I remember the 60s and the Vietnam War. And I remember my brother-in-law had a T-shirt that said, if we all say no, there'd be no war. And I remember that if every single person said, no, I'm not going. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. Then there wouldn't have been the war because there'd been no one to go and fight it. And don't get me wrong. I am so pro-servicemen. They are wonderful people who they know that if something came bad at us, they would be my first line of defense. And I give them lots of kudos for that, and I praise them. However, I don't want to put them in harm's way either. So I would like to do everything I can so the energy of the planet, based on my thinking and my thriving and my loving, changes it so, and it, you know, that they are never in harm's way. But that whole idea that as a tribe, they only survive if they thrive. They would not survive if they didn't thrive, if they didn't share. And thriving is all about communal. It's about sharing and generosity and service. Survival is just me, 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 me.
Right. And that expectation that comes from thriving is that our needs are already met.
Right.
You know, we work together. We go, you know, we move in a harmony that way. And so when we look at, you know, I have less than the guy next door, or we suddenly, you know, find ourselves craving, you know, abundance and holding on to things and all of that, and we get very closed off, and it's sad to see, you know, people who their whole life they just eventually kind of shut down, you know, when all
Lovett
around them,
it.
You know, yeah. When all around them is their community.
Right, and John Lennon said it right. He said, "If one person isn't free, none of us are free." And
right.
And that's, you know, laws don't prohibit things. They don't prevent things. Really, they don't. People still drive junk. They still kill each other. They still steal. There are laws against that. What we have to do is raise the consciousness, because right now, if you told me there is no law against murder, I still would not go and murder someone. And I'm
right.
not saying I'm better than anyone else or I'm more conscious than anyone else. I'm just saying my personal consciousness would not allow me to murder someone. And so it's raising the consciousness so we don't need the laws, because truly it's nice that they make the laws for some thermometer for people to judge their actions. However, since the Ten Commandments, people don't pay attention. If their consciousness isn't high enough, they're not going to follow those high consciousness rules and laws. So it is about raising the consciousness. It's about getting that innate to be the first line of defense in ourselves, the first line of action, the springboard from which we act and react and interact, is that innate from within, that high consciousness. And if we can springboard from that, then our actions, interactions, and reactions will bring about a state of enlightenment for the world. I think it's possible if each one of us says, hey, no, not me. I'm not going to war with my mother-in-law. I'm not arguing with the sales clerk. I'm not fighting at the gate, you know. If each one of us made those decisions on little wet battlefields, like your mother-in-law or your sister or your boss, then maybe the big battlefields wouldn't be there either.
Right, and you know what? Right now, obviously, we have all the debates going on and all of that, and you know, I think that a lot of people are pretty jaded with the system, and I think that we have this very quick fix kind of attitude, and I think that's really what's kind of I'm not going to get political, I promise.
Right.
Because I don't go parties. I go with how a person feels,
right.
And whether or not they're authentic. You know,
right.
They mean what they say, and I'm sorry, we can tell. You really can't tell unless you're just clinging to this idea that, you know, I have to, you know, I got to hold on to the Republicans real tight or whatever. I don't think that establishes any kind of harmony, certainly. But what's interesting in the Obama administration is the changes in the global community with regard to the countries, you know, saying, we are, you know, we're not going to do this, and they're deciding together. And so for all of the chaos that we see, I mean, the thing is that we are choosing to thrive, the ripples of that will change the world. But we have to believe that. If we go around going, oh, nothing's ever going to get better, and, you know, the guys are, well, you know, the, it's just one, you know. And I realize sometimes in election we all, you know, but you should vote. I know it's kind of sometimes a toss-up,
right.
But pray for that candidate. You cast that vote. Things can change very easily.
See the government that you want. Visualize what you want, not what you don't want. It's kind of like I bring you a cake for your birthday, and instead of saying thank you, that was sweet of you, you go, well, where's the plates? Where's the ice cream? Where's the chocolate milk? And I kind of will feel, well, screw you. I shouldn't have brought you a cake if you're so ungrateful for the cake. Now you're looking for ice cream and you're not happy because they didn't bring the ice cream. When we visualize what we want, we're being grateful for what we have. And we do have a nice democracy. We have a free country here. So for us to be grateful for what we have, maybe we'll get more good things. Because if I bring the cake and you go, oh my gosh, that was so sweet of you, you didn't have to do it, I'm going to want to bring you more stuff more often because I'm grateful for what I was given. And so I think gratitude goes a long, long way. And there's kind of proof about this thriving happen, because I think it was Iceland had a peaceful revolution. They threw out every one of their politicians. The country as a people, the people as a country, decided that they would pay off their national debt, that that's their taxes would go to pay off their national debt to make their country debt-free. And they put in, I don't know if they had an election or what, but they kicked out all the guys who were just robbing, stealing, and lying. And they said, our government is not working, and the country's falling apart. The people are, if the country falls apart, the people will fall apart, and we don't want to lose Iceland. We're Icelandic people, and we want to keep our cultural integrity intact. So we are going to take control. And it was all peaceful. Not one gun was raised. And the country's completely changed. They had a total peaceful revolution. So it's possible, and it's happening, and I'm so pleased that it is, you know, that people are saying, hey, I don't want a war, but I certainly don't want what is. I want to change it to something better. And I think that's infinitely a great goal to have.
Well, and I so agree with you. And something that came to mind, too, is like with our leaders, right? You know, it's easy to get jaded, blame them, whatever. You know, we can do that. We could choose to do that. That's when we're in survival, we're selfish, it's everybody else's problem. But as you raise it, when you have children children in your life, you know, and we look at those cute little girls, they're so wise, and so we're nurturing that, and we're also learning to nurture those children inside of ourselves too. So, you know, as we, you know, we have belief and faith, right, in children, and then they grow up and they go through their teenage years, and that's when the identity of the I is, and mm-hmm. then eventually, you know, move is designed to move back into a space of unity. And so I think when we approach things that maybe we can be frustrated with, moving into a thriving space for all, to me, is having a little faith in that person. You know, in other words, like we were a child. You know,
sure.
Of course, they're not our child, but aren't they, though? I mean, I think that we are all human beings, and you keep separating everything out, and you're just going to keep dividing everything into little pieces. And
right.
Our conscious intention. So I do plan to vote, you know, and when I cast my vote, though, I will do it consciously. And I will say, I believe that you can be even better than you are. And
yep.
You know, just like we do clients or anything, you know, it's about
that's
empowering.
Right. Right.
And we don't have to talk to that person. We just need to send them sort of like the prayers for the lost, right?
Right.
I think we need to get back to some of those very basic things.
Yeah.
That
my partner gave me great advice when we were raising my biological daughter. It was our daughter. But when we were raising her, I would do this or that. And she'd say, you know, you're setting the bar kind of low for her, aren't you? And I'd be like, what? And she said, you know, she's going to raise to your expectations. And
right.
I think that's true of politics. They're going to raise to our expectations. If we expect one for all and all for one, if we expect peace and we expect harmony and generosity and food for everyone and health care for everyone, if that's what we expect, that's what we'll get as a group. If we all focus on what we expect, we will raise, when we raise our expectations, they will come along. You know, Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, he said, if you don't like your politics, your government, he said, look to the consciousness of the people. Raise the consciousness of the people and the government will change. And it's so true. I mean, perfect example, my daughter was having, she moved to California to get her PhD and was struggling a little bit, being far from home and just lots of things, and was having a little grumpiness with other people. And I said, you know, you grew up in completely, completely spiritual environment. We didn't go to church every Sunday, but we are spiritual, and we have candles where we did rituals. We celebrated every spiritual holiday from every religious tradition. I said, you know, I think maybe you're missing some spirit food. I think you're hungry for spirit. Your soul is hungry. So she started going to Unity Church, and guess what? Those people she was having grumpiness with, somehow they've all changed now.
I think because she's changed.
That's right. She changed her. She got connected to source again because she had left, you know, my environment that I created with this big spiritual field, boom, 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 going round and round with all the prayers that I did and the book I was writing, and just every room has an altar in it. And she grew up in that spiritual environment and I think took it for granted, but not in a bad way. You know, she just was used to it. It was, it's kind of like if you have blue eyes, you know, every morning go, wow, blue, look at there, what a surprise, I have blue eyes. You kind of just get used to it. No, you have blue eyes. So she was used to it. And then when she moved so far away, she didn't have that. And she was noticing it, but she was noticing it, funnily enough, in other people, her interactions with other people. And as soon as she connected to source again, those people aren't irritating her so much. They're become nicer. She's meeting more friends and things are working out. And she said, wow, Mom, you know, I really, she said, thanks for pointing that out. I really missed my spirit.
Oh, wow. Those are important. You know, I think those are important lessons.
And I think that's just the micro picture of the macro world, that if we all turned within to source, we would feel much better in our actions, interactions, and reactions. That was just a little micro picture I showed you, but it's true for all of us. It's true for the big picture.
Well, you know, and when mass consciousness shifts, certainly it's as the seraphim teach me about the polarity, right? You know, we will never have, it should be in balance, certainly. And I feel like a lot of the shift, a lot of that is trying to bring this equation back into equilibrium, where we are in this mode of belief in thriving. And what people don't realize is when you have, here I am, and I say a conscious prayer, and I send it out. When you put a second person next to them, it's not just double, is it?
No.
We engage what you know, the science part of me likes to, you know, this quantum effect. So it's actually quite exponential. And it's amazing to me the resonance or how, you know, from two people with their spiritual energy and their intention, that it can somehow become more than the quantity of those things. And that's magic to me. That's spiritual magic. That is what happens, indeed, when we stand together in our truth and choose that thriving, choose the care for the other people in our life, and go back to more of community, that you come into my life because the universe responded to a need of mine. And an example, I guess we're talking about our kids tonight. My oldest daughter, Jordan, has been going a month each year for a couple of years to Maui. And she said the most compelling thing about Maui, and what really showed her what you're saying is that all these things are very easily possible, is, and when we trust that innate, when we go into that, to thrive and connect with that, she said that the culture on Maui is that everyone innately knows that if you ask for Mother Maui to give, they call her Mother Maui, you know, hey, I need to find somebody that can get me down to the South Island, you know, and you actually just affirm, you know, and see that, that the fields there very perfectly, you'll meet somebody down the road. And she did this. She hitchhiked all over Maui, and she worked here at a little coffee shop because that's my daughter who's just, I live vicariously through her because she's always really in that flow and practicing that.
Yeah.
And she came back this last time. But she remarked of the synergy there where we have a group mind. So why wouldn't someone innate nature guide them to that location where that person needed help. And it's just so clear there, you can see the automatic response. And that is the innate response to the needs of others, you know, when we're in community, when we're connected. And that's very present in a lot of places, but especially Maui. And she just came back from her last trip and said, I was talking to Mother Maui, and I know where I need to be right now. And that's to send that love. And so my 22-year-old daughter is going to move into Maui in about 3 weeks because she feels from that place of thriving, of service.
Oh.
And
well,
that
God
she,
has blessed her on her way.
But I see all of her friends, you know, in their 20-somethings who are so compassionate, you know, and they're in this very different place. And for her, it's like, well, I'm going to pick up and I'm going to go to Maui because that is in all of this collective that's going on where my intentions will have the most power. And I'm like,
and
wow.
Well, it shows me a couple things. One, you know, first of all, she was lucky enough to find that spot. You know, a long time ago, I think one of the first people to knock open, to make a little, you know, when you make a little crack in your windshield of your car, within a week it's an inch, then in 2 weeks it's a foot, and if you don't repair it, it goes wild and it'll travel day after day after day. Well, I think that crack in consciousness that began in maybe the 70s. Was Carlos mm-hmm. Castaneda. He talked
right.
about finding her power spot. And so not only has she found her power spot, but she's also decided that this is a high priority for her. It isn't getting a career or buying a
and
car.
And the world, yes.
And her, and so her believing that, her acting on that, her reacting to that, her choosing that, and believe me, I think all life is about choice. I was somewhere the other day, and I was having a worry little moment, and I thought, you know what? I can choose to be afraid and worry, or I can choose to say, nature's going to take care of it one way or the other. If something bad happens, there's nothing I can do. I'll deal with that when it comes. If nothing bad happens, well, then I haven't wasted any time worrying. And I actually made a choice, and I changed my physiology, and that's my first step. To changing lots of things just in people's DNA and their physiology. Once you start making that choice, it actually changes something within. And anybody who's had to give up smoking or drinking or drugs or any of that addiction to give up something, you know that no one around you can force you to do it. Something has to click inside you for you to actually make that commitment and take those steps to do that. And that's what happened when I made that choice. I thought, oh my gosh, all the world's a choice. All of life is a choice. All of enlightenment is a choice. Peace for everyone. The age of enlightenment, a perfect utopian Atlantean society, is a choice. But we all have to be on the same page with the choice.
Well, and we need to understand and be empowered to know that what we choose to do does make a powerful difference. Because I see my daughter, and I'm like, I have no doubt that she's going to move mountains vibrationally, liberate lots of people just by being in her field, you know, and that's what it kind of requires right now.
And I think of her as a pebble in the pond of consciousness. She is going to drop in Maui, and then those ripples are going to go out, and everybody else is going to be affected by those ripples. And if everybody can start dropping their peg of bubble in their pond of consciousness, the ripples would just be, we wouldn't even recognize the world anymore. You know, we would retain the good things, and I would love for our children not to even know the things that you and I know, things that you and I, and my parents and my grandparents, the things they went through with war and all of those things. I would like my children and my grandchildren not to even know about that and go, really, Mom? People killed each other? Really? I want it to be that kind of thing where it's not existent anymore because it isn't vibrating through anyone's consciousness anymore. And that's an inside job, and that's an individual. Mm-hmm. Every individual, all 7 billion of us have to get on board with it.
Well, and I think that, you know, these new children too.
Oh,
these are the
God.
Children that shall not be changed. You know, we had the indigos
yep.
and
yep,
crystals
right.
and all of that.
Right.
The neo, they're yeah. already awake, and
yep.
they vibrate to such a high frequency that their reality, it doesn't matter what an adult would feed them.
Right.
They're holding
I
on
have,
to the
I have a couple friends whose daughters are both either 6 or 7. I've kind of lost track. But those children, I swear, they're like little fairies. They're little angels in human bodies. When I'm around them, I feel like I'm in the presence of something holy. And the children are so innately themselves. Like if they want to dance, they'll just start dancing. They don't care if the music's playing. If they want to wear red tights and green socks, they're going to wear it. They're just so, their self-expression is so innate. It is just a thing of beauty to watch with these children. So I have big hope. And these children that are being born, like my friend's two little girls and the girls you were talking about and the new children being born, those are huge pebbles in our pond of consciousness.
Yeah.
They're rippling, and we can't help but act on that. We just can't. We can't. Look at Iceland. The whole country decided, wait, this is wrong. And they all banded together and made a change.
And they could see the bigger picture. Yeah.
And the ripples are happening. And, you know, we're so fortunate. Just hang on and enjoy the ride and make good choices within yourself. Take your moments of silence. Take your breath. You know, be kind. There's nothing more important than being kind. Nothing.
Well, you know, and I agree with you. It's those basic fundamentals, right? We all learn them.
Yeah.
It's, again, though, you know, a choice. And I think that then when we do make that choice and we have work to do on ourselves, that's where the Thrival Bible comes in. So let's talk about that
right here
before we get off.
Okay.
You had a journey, and I know we won't go into all of that, but for those that don't know, this is a wonderful Bible. I tell everybody it looks just like it's thick. It's got 900 pages in it, like a Bible. And it is a Bible because it has so much of the essential different types of truth, which everyone will find their path to thriving, in my opinion, in their own unique way. So your book's great because it's got so much in it that you can literally use it a million different ways.
Right. And you know what's funny is there's about 70 other contributors besides myself, but I did write a lot of what's in the book. But sometimes I'll pick it up and read it and go, and I'll realize that I wrote that. I'm like, wow, I really needed to hear that today. I forget that I wrote it, and it's something that I really needed to hear. But many people told me that they open it up, and somehow it'll be talking exact. They'll get out of the car, and they're really frustrated because they were really angry behind the wheel, and they'll open it up to the page, and I talk about that very thing. And so it's very much alive, and it will talk to you and work with you and mold to your life. But my partner she nicknamed it the Thrival Bible because it's called Horse to Water because in my field of practice, many times I would tell people, well, we can help you, but maybe you'd like to make some changes. And they'd be like, no, I don't want to give up coffee or no, you know, I don't know that I love this one. No, I'm not really angry. Okay. Then why do you have all that inflammation? I think so, you know, I could bring them to the waters, the living waters of acupuncture and prayer and all these other things, and they wouldn't drink. And that's kind of that and the song by Donnie Harrison called Horse to Waters, where the name of the book came from. So I wanted these to be the living waters, that if you drink from the waters of this book, you will change. You will become awakened, enlightened, healed. And it was my joy to bring it together and my absolute honor and joy to share it. Because I know the more people using the book, and it is something to use, not just read and leave on your bed table, the more people using the book, the more pebbles are dropping in the pond, the more consciousness is expanding, and the Age of Enlightenment's right around the corner.
Well, and it's kind of like the book that I'm, you know, trying to launch, that will launch in one form or the other. You know, it's about inspiring people to see the truth beyond even what they may have thought. So, well, how can people get a hold of you? Because I know we have to wrap up the show already, but God, what a wonderful discussion.
Boy, that went fast.
It did.
My website is www.writeenlightenment.com, and that's W-R-I-T-E, because I believed I could write my way to enlightenment, that if I wrote the book that I was inspired, if I was inspired to write, that I would change the world, that we would all become enlightened. And so it's W-R-I-T-E. enlightenment.com, www.writeenlightenment.com, and they can order a book there. They can the book, because the living waters are in the book, we are going to be hosting in 2014 a living waters workshop where the contributors and myself and many other people will come and bring the book to life. So you won't only be reading about things, you'll actually participate in your own awakening through participating in the different things in the book. So we're looking forward to that. But
I'm looking forward to that, so everybody out there listening can stay tuned to your stuff or my stuff to know about it. But thank you so much for coming. We're wrapping up here, everybody, on a Friday night. That's all the time we have this evening. Of course, enjoyed it. I love vibrating to this frequency for the listeners
thank
with
you,
my friends.
CJ, thank you so much.
Be sure to tune into next week's show when Jerome Braggs joins me to speak candidly about his 7-year process of terminal health issues to full healing. Full healing. He had to learn to heal himself from within. So all my loopy listeners or others with chronic health issues that you know I love and pray for you guys, I think this will be a show you don't want to miss. So until then, my friends, remember to be angelic to yourself so that you can become an angel to others. Take care. Have a blessed week. Light the candles. Show them the way.